Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have two friends of mine, and it's the first time that they're on the podcast. I'm very excited. I have Asia Bennett and Jelly.
Woo! Yeah, glad to be here.
Juicy, juicy.
Thank you guys for coming out. And so the way I met both of you was we did a show together for a woman's prison.
Totally. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when this was? Was this like a year ago?
It had to be a year ago.
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
It was cold. I don't know. It was snow.
Yes. It was snow. There was snow on the ground. And I think this was all of our first.
Yes. Yeah, it was our first prison
experience.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Our prison was popped.
Yeah, it was cool.
Our prison cherry was popped.
Yeah, it was like, I guess, a menage. It was great.
Well, I remember, like, how long was the car? The car ride was about total. Wasn't it about 5 hours?
It was grueling. Yeah.
It was a long time, right?
Yeah.
We were in the car for a while.
I fell asleep.
It was like three parts to it, three chapters to it.
Yeah, because we had to, like, drive to one part, and then we got into Kevin's car.
We switched cars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was journey.
And Jelly and I were having an issue with the air freshener.
OMG.
You were fine with it. We were in the back dying.
Which one?
There was that tree, you know, like the typical car air freshener, but Jelly and I are so sensitive to those smells that we were we had the scarf over it. It was like a deal. We were getting headaches.
Sleep. I was knocked out probably.
Yeah, no, you didn't give a fuck about it.
I was cool. You were lucky. Yeah, okay. I'm super sensitive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got there and ended up being actually a very beautiful experience.
Oh yeah, it was. It was really cool. Like to see the women, like, you know, I mean, it was different because you knew they weren't going to get up and leave once we were done. So that made it awkward at the end. But like,
I didn't think of it like that.
I was like, you know, like as I was telling the jokes, I'm like, and after this is over, I'm leaving and they're going to be here. And it just felt unfair. But it was like they had the great time. So it was like really good that for that moment. We kind of brought them probably someplace else. So.
Yes. And even to see the service dogs and seeing the service dogs that they have and that they're humans too, you know?
Well, you actually said a really beautiful and touching speech almost. Not like speech, but you said something really beautiful at the end of your set.
Heal the world and make it a better place and that I could easily have been one of you as well.
True. Hello.
You know, we're one. Curse out one.
I was one car. I was one, you know, brick away from package from one city to one city. One car ride. One, you know, one
tire stab away.
It's true though. It's like we all act like we're so above or better than.
No way.
Yeah, we see. Well,
at
not even
moment we can snap. You know,
We're all human, and we could all end up in a situation. Totally. Whether it's prison or, you know, we love watching reality TV shows and being like, oh, look at how crazy that person is, not being able to look at our own crazy.
Goodness. I would never. That's why I can't even. I couldn't do a reality show.
It's too
much.
Too realistic.
Right, it would be too much for TV. For the masses.
Yeah, there would be a lot, especially if you don't have control of the editing. Like you can film a person's full day and make it look nuts.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So and that also can be annoying. Someone following you around all the time, so I get how they also spaz out.
Yeah,
like, get away from me! Like they need a break sometimes too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's how we all met, and it was really. I mean, I still think about that show a lot because it really was like being in a prison and realizing your freedom is for real taken away. And who knows what some of these women did. Like it could have been something that they're first of all innocent for or something. Like I think drugs, the whole going to jail for drugs is also really stupid.
Well, they say 7 times out of 10 a woman goes to jail before a man
for probably
doing something
drugs or domestic violence. Maybe she retaliated back or maybe killed
unfortunately know.
That's something that when I see on like Facebook or Twitter in terms of the news, though, when it's like a woman stood up for herself and killed him or whatever after being abused for years and then she goes to jail.
It's ridiculous.
I'm not saying I know the exact answer to that.
Right.
You know, I guess it's situation to situation. Right. Like if they feel that she's now a threat. But like, how do you determine like people have to protect themselves. But I don't know, just being there and looking at these women that could easily just be our friends out here. And you could see that they were like really lovely, amazing people. It was a very, it was a big wake up call of like,
oh, definitely.
That could be any one of us. And that's essentially what you said.
Yes. Heartfelt.
It touched me. It almost made me cry. I think you went up before me and I remember being emotional like, fuck, I got to get my shit together. And I don't think I could top that. Because I was wondering if I should say something too. And then you just like nailed it. And I was like, okay.
Because when you looked out in the crowd, I hate to be stereotypical, but I was expecting a little more rough and, you know, a little rugged, like maybe a little less teeth or something. I don't know the stereotype of what an inmate would look like. And for them to look like us, some of them had makeup, you know, hair was done. They look like normal women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, they are, right?
Right. I was expecting aliens, like maybe 10 heads, 18 eyes, when they had 2 eyes and 5 fingers. I was so 10 fingers and 10 toes.
Well, it's definitely a weird experience entering a prison, too. Like, we were
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the boys that we were with, they've been doing prison shows, but they said the men's prisons are a completely different ball game.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't envy them.
Yeah, they can have that. Mm-hmm.
They get heckled a lot more. Wait, what?
Oh, you did?
You did? What was that like?
It was more the real deal.
Okay. Can you describe it a little bit more?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we had to take, like, the bus to go over, you know, to the prison. And it was definitely more extensive. It was not, like, as Lily Valley as, you know. It was crazy because when we got there, you know, the CEO was like, you know, today we're gonna have a great time. I was like, okay. She was like, yeah, we have 2 different rivalry gangs. I said, excuse me, 2 different rivalry gangs. So it was the Bloods and the Crips.
Oh my god.
So when I went, the Bloods and the Crips were there, and they had like maybe 50 seats in between each gang. So like I think the Crips were in the front, and they had like, you know, it was maybe 50 60 COs in that one space, which wasn't like, you know, it was probably the same size that of the place that we went. However, it was like about 60 COs, so maybe if not more, in that space, because it was the Bloods and the Crips on it that day. And so I'm thinking, thanks for telling me this at the beginning. You know, I was like, okay, how are we going to go? So it was just a little, definitely more intimidating. And as I was in the front, it was 3 guys that were in the front, and they had space in between them, and they were like handcuffed to each other, still handcuffed, like. So then after it was over, she's like, oh, the guys that were in the front, they are pedophiles, and they had raped like 10-year-olds or something like that. And I'm like, Jesus. Oh, and I was like, literally right in front of them. Like, and so it was like, it was all males. So it wasn't like females at all. It was all males. So yeah, it was interesting. I did another day too at Rikers Island, but that was probably the most interesting day. The other day wasn't as, you know, bad, but that day was like, really?
I don't know.
Like the only female one that was in there, actually.
Were they calling at you or?
No. They behaved. They were like, it was really weird. I felt like, I felt like an X-ray. You know, I can't lie. I just felt like I was just nothing but.
Tupac, just, all eyes on you.
Yeah, you felt it. You know, it was way you can avoid it. But but it was definitely, it was.
How was your set?
It went well. It went well. It was going to go well. I could have said, boo, you know, I mean, it was hard to not go right, you know.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
Wow, so intense. I'm glad that
very intense, though.
I'm not saying
feeling.
I wouldn't do it.
Different feeling.
But I'm glad that our other experience was way less intense.
It was like, this is like comparing Lilies in the Valley to like, you know.
Because I was really thinking about that when we did that other show, what it would be like, and the way that the dudes were describing it. And I was just like, yeah, I don't want to be stared at with that intensity because you're already nervous going on stage.
Right.
I have to make people laugh. But then going up and feeling like you described it as the X-ray, it's so hard to get to intense. Find your funny in that.
Right. It was very, you know, it was different, extremely different from my experience. I was expecting, I knew it was going to be definitely different because I knew it was going to be like a male, you know, prison. It was Rikers. So I'm like, oh, this is really going to get fun. But then, when I experienced, that was the first day was with the gang rivalry. I went back again after that, but who would do that but me? But tell how I like it. No, I'm playing. So, rough. So, I went, Oh, so yes, basically I went back the next day, but yeah, prisons are different. I don't know if I, yeah, it was cool. I would do it again.
Oh, all right.
I definitely see in the future me doing, you know, more prison shows, mm-hmm. but there's certainly not just an intensity in that way, but it's, there's a sadness present.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Definitely. And you can sense also the brokenness of our society.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, something's failing all of us here.
Definitely.
Because it obviously failed them, because I think, I mean, obviously prison makes sense for certain individuals, mm-hmm. but there needs to be way more like social rehab centers, right. and how oh, yes. can we get our citizens who were probably done wrong mm-hmm. since they were born?
Please.
So how can we actually give people a second chance? Because we are all connected. No one is better than anyone else.
No.
And it's like, you know, instead of just throwing people away.
Right. That's all. Like, that's, I mean, the, yeah. the correctional, you know, facilities, which they call it, is never really a correctional facility. I mean, it's just a place where you could just, you know, basically house them. And then usually the most of the inmates that are in there have been in there, you know, in the juvenile system. So once they come out of the jail system, they're so conditioned to being told what to do in that system that they, within months, get right back into the system. Like, most people that go to jail are just repeat offenders.
Yeah.
Because it's a system. That's mm-hmm. why it's a system, you know. It's just, it's designed for them to be dependent mm-hmm. on that. And it's all money. You know, we think about how much money is invested. They invest more. The prisons look more phenomenal in our areas than the school systems. The schools are falling apart. 100-year-old buildings that are falling apart. You can just see the asbestos hanging from the built, from the sky, you know, from the ceiling. And, you know, you can smell the lead in the air. But, you know, the prisons are top-notch, clean, you know, state-of-the-art. They have cable. They have new, you know, it's crazy.
It's become
injustice.
Trendy.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeez. Yeah. It's total injustice.
Well, hopefully things will start to change soon. I feel like as messed up as Trump is as a president, mm-hmm. it's bringing people to speak up more.
Right.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm not happy he's president, but at the same time, it's like, if we'd had another president that was just an, you know, almost right. like Hillary. I voted for Hillary,
right.
but I feel like less people would be pointing to the disease that's been going around for a long
right.
time. And now right. people are starting to be like, oh yeah, the shit's broken.
Right.
Like even Anderson Cooper, I don't know if you saw his speech
right.
On Haiti.
Right.
Because
no. That was,
you know,
awesome. I mean,
okay. Did you see it or no?
I cried. I heard it. I heard it on the radio. I didn't get a chance to see it in person, but I mean, I was just like, like totally
I was crying too.
It was phenomenal.
And I just think that, thank God people are starting to speak up like that,
yeah,
because
I mean,
Trump called certain countries shitholes.
Shithole right. countries. I heard about that.
And like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's ridiculous in so many ways to like, because he's basically saying people stop coming from your shithole country. It's like, it's the same thing of like when the Holocaust happened and
right.
the Jews were escaping. Mm-hmm. It's like he's saying that to like, you know what I mean? It's like, stay in your shithole country, get
right.
gassed. It's like he's saying
right.
that to everyone around the world, like as if people can even own land. And I'm
right.
not saying it can be a free for all everywhere. I get
right.
there has to be somewhat borders and checks. Mm-hmm. I get
and
it.
That, you know what? And that's what, not for nothing, I will give it up to Trump for that. I mean, I think, goodness, he's opening up the conversation and the dialect about it, because it has been something that we like to roundabout, you know, America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and let's just everybody come. But, you know, with doing that, we have to be able to substantially, you know, take care of the, like, for instance, I work with the education. We have a lot of students that come in from other countries, and they have to be serviced educationally, learning so many languages. Like, most schools have to speak learn Spanish or French
right.
and some, you know, but Spanish is one of the main languages you learn coming in grammar school. So you have people that's coming from another country that's already speaking another language, trying to learn the American language, and then you have to come to school and learn Spanish.
Yep.
So now they're having three languages, so it's just too much going on. It's a full-on fiesta in the Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? So now we have like ESL teachers. No, we have these teachers that, and so it's like, I work in a very diverse school, so we have a lot of languages. I'm talking Indian, Arabic, we have different languages. We have to be able to service these people. So it is more than just welcome to America. You have to, it's a tag that's coming
right.
with that. It's a price tag that's coming with that. And people work hard. And then you have to service so many people that are coming from other countries. So it is something to think about.
I don't know the answer, but obviously there's a balance we have to find where, okay, so, you know, there, once again, when you open the doors completely,
mm-hmm.
then now, like you said, you have to not just service everyone, but accommodate you, whether it's physical space, actual employees that can help.
Medical.
Yeah, but it's also like we also don't want to close the doors to people that are actual refugees trying to flee a place where they're in danger. And I don't know, obviously, the answer, but you're right. It's a good thing, once again, that this is coming up to the surface for all of us to like and hopefully openly discuss. Like, you don't have to always agree, but we need to start. And I think that's even better. Like, suppose I'm more open the doors and you're more like, well, you can't because then you have to service everyone. That's fine. It's from people like us who don't completely agree. I'm not saying we don't, but you know what I mean? It's that conversation that needs to happen in a kind way and for us to actually get to a certain place that we need to get to.
It has to be, it has to be a mutual ground, because the reality of the situation is that you can't, you have, you know, the other countries aren't, you know, they always looking at America. Oh, what are we doing over here? You know, and it's like, wait a minute, calm down. It's like paparazzi is on America. Like, everything we do. I mean, could we help it with an orange president? You know, it's like we're screaming attention. But no, I don't, you know, everything about Trump, people are like anti-Trump. I'm not an anti-Trump person. I'm not saying that I'm totally for him, but I'm not saying I'm totally against him. I think that he's just interesting. He does start different dialects that, like, as you said, we wouldn't more likely would not be having had he not been in office. So, I mean, especially in the race, too. Like, this is something that is something that definitely needs to be approached in this country. That he's bringing more, you know, light to it, you know. So.
Well, unfortunately, he has brought more light that racism still exists.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Like, a lot, like, we would like to have thought, you know, we never really talked about it. We know it exists. It was like the elephant in the room. And here go Trump, like, here it is. This is me. This is who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's, at least he's being, you know, that's why I give it. At least he's being himself. I know he's not being anybody else.
He's keeping it real.
I mean, at least I'd rather somebody just show me who you are than just, you know, put on a fake smile and just everything I'd rather you be, if you out of control, be out of control.
Yeah.
Be who you are. But at least, you know, for not for nothing, he's bringing up issues that we need to discuss in this country that would not be discussed, you know, that just has gone under the table.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, go Trump.
No, you're right. And that's the thing is, like, it's time for all of us to get real, even if the conversations are uncomfortable. Because it's enough of these PC politicians where they have certain ways to phrase things where they're not even actually saying anything. They've just sculpted sentences that have no. And it's like, at least now it's like, okay, well, who are you? What do you actually think? And yes, racism has been something that, obviously, you guys know. I'm going to say more than me. I mean, yes and no. Like, because we all know, but some people are more victimized of it.
Of course.
So, like, a lot of white people knew, but you know what I mean? Right. White privilege has allowed a lot of people to be ignorant, even though deep down we all know in our gut. You know what I mean? So, at least now it's like, yeah, let's get real. We might not like most of the things Trump's saying, but he's not censoring himself like most of these PC politicians.
Right, we do. Yeah, so I said, it may make you uncomfortable. I may not agree with everything he say, and you know, sometimes he take it too far. I feel like as a politician, you do have to lead in a certain way. I mean, let's face it, we all can't go to our jobs and do what we want to do and be what we can be. So I feel like as a president, you do have to have a certain prestige and a certain,
of course,
you know, to yourself. I mean, that's why I think he is just like raunchy, daunchy. Like, come on, pull it together.
Yeah, I don't
pull
need,
it together. Like,
he's being real and raw. I want someone who's real. Like, look, Oprah's speech. Like, I would love to talk about that. I'm totally okay with Oprah becoming president.
Well, I didn't hear the speech. I didn't hear the speech.
Oh, you need to
see
it.
I love Oprah. She,
unicorn.
I love her.
It was beautiful and
I would have
liberating.
Like, flying. Like, I just love
all of us just lit up talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. You get liberated.
Well, who else? Because people are like, oh, now we're gonna have another celebrity, and it's like, whatever. She is an individual. It's, for me, it's about trusting the individual. And then, of course, they elect their whole cabinet who are more experienced in politics. But if there's some, I do trust Oprah. Like,
I mean,
she's someone who's
definitely
experienced so many challenges. She's experienced racism, all of it,
and
has come through.
Has global awareness.
I mean, definitely. I think, like, Oprah is, like, after experiencing, like, Obama having a black man run a country and then having a Trump come in, they're like, okay, let's go back to another black person. I think we can do another black person again. No, I just think, no, seriously, no. But Oprah definitely is, you know, like, you know, society, I think, you know, we, these images that we have, like, I think we've definitely, social media has gotten us away from, you know, a lot of things that are important. Like, I think politicians should still be politicians. I think there are people that go to school that learn politics, study the field, and that will know how to lead it. And I think that, you know, like, my problem with Trump is that I don't have any problem with him. I just think that, like, as a politician, I think that if you never were a mayor of a town, or you never were probably a parent council president, I don't know how in the world are you going to run a country and just become president. Like, you should have some type of political background. You should have some type of understanding of what, you know, of how to deal with people and, you know, as a mass, you know, on a metro, you know, like on a whole level, on a grander scale. So that's my thing. Like, I think that, you know, we should still keep politics with politicians who should know how to, you know, that learn, you know, but within the same space, I feel like, you know, that has been kind of trouble for us. So maybe new age moving forward, we should do other things, but I don't think it should be something like, you know, so looking for celebrities, you know, I think we should really understand that there's so much more to politics. They don't understand that part. They may understand what they were gifted to do, you know, created to do, but that, you know, politics is a lot. So I think that should take somebody who has, you know, experience. You wouldn't want a doctor, somebody having a surgery, you know, a surgeon who hasn't had experience being a surgeon, but they are popular. Like, oh, okay, you was a doctor on General Hospital, so just come and operate on me right now.
Great example.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just like, you don't want to do that. I mean, I want somebody that's more experienced. Sorry. No shade to President Trump. I like you.
That makes sense.
And for example, I mean, look what he's doing. He's like firing everybody since he's been. He still thinks he's on that show. You know, he's just like, you're fired. He thinks he's on Princess. Yeah. So like, since he's been in office, he hasn't held back. He's true to his game. Like, he's firing everybody. So I think that, I think we should look for somebody, because Oprah might just be giving everybody a lot of stuff. So every celebrity might just be take on. That might be who they are. You know, she might, well, you're free. So she might just go and free everybody. So I think we should just like deal with people who have that political knowledge and background. And let's get it back together, America. It's like log off of Instagram and Facebook and stop watching TV. Mm-hmm. And like, let's realize that we got to be real. Yeah. We got to deal with reality and what's going to, you know, people that know that's knowledgeable about stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I agree. No. I mean, yeah, it's finding the mixture of someone who's raw and can speak truth, but also has experience. Yes. Yeah. You're right.
It's somebody out there.
Oh, we'll find this person somehow. Oh, I mean, after this. Well, no, I don't want to say loved. Too, I love Obama.
But he also, you know, to me, you know, I hope I don't get stoned, was a little tender. He was a little tender.
Yeah, he was a little tender.
Oh, I like that.
I liked it too.
But we also need somebody who's also
a little stern.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Trump was able to come in, because he had that little edge to him that everybody kind of needed out of Obama. You know,
right.
I think people are just thirsty on the deepest level, politics or not, for truth and change.
Yes.
And I think we unconsciously elected the person that we knew was going to disrupt
things. Ooh,
it's like to bring the soil, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like let's bring all of this up. It's been settling too long. Mm-hmm. We need to start actually dealing with truth. And he definitely is a conversation starter.
He started talking about that wall. It got the conversations going.
Yeah.
He's still not letting it down. True, he was like, he don't care what y'all want to do, but that wall is going up. You know, he like building stuff anyway. He do all the Trump towers and stuff.
A wall.
We know he was into towers, Trump towers. And he liked Taj Mahal.
All
on
West Side Highway.
He loves to build stuff. So you know he going to get that wall up.
He thinks he's Mr. Monopoly.
That's what I'm saying. So like, Trump is serious about that wall. If he could put his name and sign at the bottom, he'd love it, you know. He's such a whore for that.
Yes, he is. Attention whore.
Yeah, a building whore.
Well, he's always been.
You know I build that wall.
Yeah. He's always been an attention whore.
Oh, gosh. Totally.
So let's talk about. Okay, so how long ago was the show that we did in Montclair?
So that was about a year.
Was that about a year ago,
coming
too?
Up probably February.
Holy
crap. Okay. So we did the show, and it ended up, I forget why, but it ended up being smaller than we wanted.
Intimate setting.
Still fun. Still very fun.
Right. Yeah.
But at that time, I remember, because this changed me in a lot of ways, the whole Remy Ma, Nicki Minaj
beef
was really...
It was the real. Song came out.
Yeah. Yes, which...
Sheether,
yeah.
Yes. And actually, at the time, because, you know, like, at first, when drama comes up, you're... Like, at first, I was like, oh, like, I listened to it, and I was like, whoa. And when I did my set, I was like, because I had never really even heard of Remy Ma till then.
Right.
And I was like, oh, like, I don't want to say I was pro Remy Ma, because that's even stupid, because honestly, I'm into whole non-duality now of like, you don't pick sides anyway.
Right.
Like,
that's my deal. Right.
Well, that's and that's why your set actually deeply changed me. Which is why I'm bringing it up, because I went up there and, you know, I was talking about Remy Ma and I've always loved Nicki Minaj, but mm-hmm. I said something where I was like, yeah, you know, I made a comment about Nicki altering her body mm-hmm. and you came up and you didn't yell at me or anything like that. But you were like, you said it nicely. You're like, I hate when people talk though about like Nicki's body like that, because not just every body type is acceptable, but like altering your body or not, that's up to each person's decision. Yeah. And like, it really set me straight. Cause like, I don't want to say I was shit talking, so I don't think it was that far.
No, it wasn't like that at all.
But it really made me, because I'm obsessed with Nicki Minaj. Oh my God, I'm such a fan of hers.
Hello. I love her.
You two are the Nicki fans yeah. for life.
I love Nicki. No, yes, she's I mean, she's an inspiration to women she of is. Claiming that divine feminine, that
yeah.
that powerful rage and being like, this is how I fucking think. I'm strong.
Right.
I'm not this typical woman who's going to shut up. And I mean, you saw my rap song.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh yeah.
She's an inspiration. Yes. So,
Kate, they not ready.
Cunty.
So I just almost wanted to like, even though, yeah, I just, yeah, Cunty
yeah,
Kate.
Cunty Kate, yeah.
I just really liked what you said, because it changed how I felt. Of like, mm-hmm. if all natural's right for you, then it's right for you. If you need to go and you want some kind of plastic surgery because you feel more comfortable that way, mm-hmm. you have to do you. And I just really regret mm-hmm. ever letting anything come out of my mouth.
That's okay.
About it still even bothers me today, where mm-hmm. I was like, man, what made me think that I had the right to comment on anyone's body?
Yeah. It's okay.
I just want to put this PSA out there. Just don't go to the basements, guys, when you go to get these surgeries.
Right.
Please go to a professional.
Yes.
Don't go to the janky basement under
true,
the bodega.
Though.
All right? Mm-hmm. Please go to a professional. Not where they're giving
that's very
you
true.
Cement mm-hmm. and they're closing you up with crazy glue. Okay?
Because there's that issue. Thank you for adding that, the safety issues up, because there are a lot of people who have been
cheap.
You know, have died to, you know, plastic surgery due to mm-hmm. not being able to afford the coin to actually go pay a doctor who's certified, you know, and approved to do the procedure. So please, like you said, that is very important. If people want to do that, do it, but just make sure you do it, you know, healthy, and, you know, go to counseling and get yourself, you know, make sure you do it the official way.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that.
It's true.
No, it's true.
No, if you are going to do it, really do your research.
Yeah,
people are cutting into your body.
A lot of deaths.
And look, even with all this said, I still really love the idea of mm-hmm. loving your natural body.
Totally. You have to love who you are.
Just saying, you do what you want to.
Right.
At the end of the day, every
choice.
Decision you have to make is yours. And I don't want to go too into the topic I'm about to go into. So we got to keep this.
Okay.
So help me here with keeping it at a certain level. But I received some news before my two friends came.
Okay.
Let's see. How can I say? I'm going to try to say this in a very not too juicy way as a way to protect myself and the other people involved.
Okay.
But so I've been pouring my heart out mm-hmm. and I've kind of explained this to my listeners over months. And it was part of my journey of like, look, these are my feelings. Whether or not they're returned doesn't even matter. I mean, of course it matters in the sense of ouch, but like, this is about me finally mm-hmm. being vulnerable and not trying to look cool and just mm-hmm. being like, these are my feelings, whether or not
it's reciprocated at that moment.
Learning how to really speak your truth. And I knew it was going to eventually, even though today I'm kind of gutted out, mm-hmm. Get me to where I need to go. Mm-hmm. And I think what we were just talking about, there's no wrong decision. It's it's all, everyone, you are the ones who know what's best for you. And even in this situation that I can't give too many details to, mm-hmm. I was told something that was heartbreaking. And there was a part of me that wanted to lash out and claim I knew the right decision, or I knew. And ultimately, I do believe that there's a divine plan, and I mm-hmm. do very much believe in God, or whatever other people would call it, source energy, whatever. And I just think it's really important that we start, whether it's love, our bodies, mm-hmm. careers, mm-hmm. you, no matter what anyone else's opinions are, only you know what's right for you. And in the situation I'm talking about, really fucking threw me for a loop, but at the same time I was like, who am I to judge? I didn't see it coming, but at the same time I was like, this is what's meant to be happening, and there's nothing, I don't know if I'm saying
because
it right,
like, happiness, ultimately to me, happiness is a decision. Mm-hmm. You decide to be happy. You control your own happiness. You can't, no one from the outside can really control your own happiness, you know. So you have the right to say, this is what makes me happy. Because some people may not understand what your happiness may be. Your happiness may be miserable to somebody else. Oh, she's utter misery. But the person mm-hmm. can be happy as they want to be.
Content being home. Yeah,
and content. You know, will they seem crazy? In some cases, does that make them crazy? Yes. That may make a person crazy. They may really be crazy. You got to let them say, well, they happy and crazy. Let them be happy and crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's just taking that, you know, for what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Have a happiness decision, and you have to just concern yourself with your own happiness and decide to say, I'm going to be happy knowing that whatever it is that makes me happy is what I'm going to do, you know, and right. I'm going to just create my own energy of happiness and let no one else be a part of your happiness. Your happiness should be come within. It should be no outside energy that creates your own happiness.
That's right.
So once you find happiness within yourself, anything anybody else does, if it's not in tune with your spirit, then it's not for you. You know what yeah. I mean? So ultimately, you just make yourself happy within yourself, knowing that your happiness doesn't come from any outside source. It comes from within. And as long as you're healthy and the things that you have that's very important to you, your child, things like that, that's the most important things, your children, you know, and everything else will fall into place. You just be happy knowing that somebody else out there has so many other issues and problems. And you're not saying that makes you happy that somebody else is having problems, but know that just be happy in your own space and be grateful for where you are. You know, it's so easy to just be distracted with where you aren't and what's not right. You know, just be focused more on the things that are right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's so easy for us to be on the outside of someone else's journey saying, oh, but that's what should make you happy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, because you have no fucking idea what does make someone happy. So what makes me feel free might make someone else feel trapped. Right. And you know, I definitely today am in a place where I'm very confused.
Right.
Because I, you know, I've been following my intuition more and more deeply. Right. And it brought me today to a place. I'm going to try not to cry, but fuck it if I do.
Let it go.
It brought me to a place where I was like, wow, this is where
it's a moment of
it
clarity.
It brought me.
It's a moment I'm like, of clarity.
And I have to go. And it really is in a place where I'm like, I have to surrender to my faith and my trust and all this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, wow, I feel like I got sucker punched by God. Mm-hmm. And
but guess what? But you came out of that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not out of it yet.
Well, but you know, you're here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There.
Right.
And the signs are there in the beginning. This is how my aunt always telling me. Mm-hmm. The signs are there in the beginning. It's up to us to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we, as women, are too nurturing. Mm-hmm. And we allow others to get our love and our energy that they don't deserve. So sometimes we exhaust that and we have to realize,
yeah,
like you just said, hold on to it. Hold on to it and know your own truth. And your happiness is your happiness. And don't let anybody disturb your groove. Yeah.
But you know what? Even in there, it's like, because I knew, I knew that there were things, mm-hmm. how do I say this? That weren't okay with me. Like I, and this has been a pattern mm-hmm. of, because I'm so desperate for connection or love, you are willing to give up things that you know you deserve.
Compromise.
Just, uh-huh. And I'm not saying, because compromise is good on one aspect, mm-hmm. but it's another thing when you are giving so much without, right. you know, but there, and I saw that the whole time, and I'm not, this isn't even in a blaming way, because this person never asked right. for what I was giving.
You just do it instinctively. Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the whole feeling sucker punched by God, because this whole time I didn't want to feel, mm-hmm. how do I say it? Like, I was like, oh, I don't, you know, like I was always the whole time trying to find my power. And like, I think no one ever wants to give more than they feel is fair. It's mm-hmm. like we get into these patterns or these belief systems where you almost feel, what's the right word?
We're nurturing. We just,
but I've seen it with men too. It's like, you know, when you get, it's almost like when you're trying to get out of something that doesn't feel right and you feel like you can't get
obligated?
Out of it yet. Not, it's like bigger than obligated. It's like in quicksand. It's like emotional, okay. spiritual quicksand okay. where there's a situation and you can see it consciously and you're like, this isn't, I deserve more than this. Not more than the person itself, but there's the situation right. is not healthy, doesn't make me feel good.
It's not conducive.
But, and yet I can't find my way out of it yet. And it's like, I don't know the answer here.
It's like being stuck in a nightmare. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like you know you're in a nightmare right now, but you just can't wake up out of it. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, and you can continuously go to sleep and you wake up and it's this nightmare. You know, because it's like sometimes you can be in situations where I'm the person's, you know, daydream and they're my nightmare. And it's just, it's like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you know, where you just in a situation and you just don't know how to get out of a situation. You just stuck. I'm saying, how do you get out of a situation? But I think that, you know, you just have to let time and patience. Time, having patience is very, very hard. Like, we all know patience is a word, and we all know it's something that has to be done and not just something just read. But mm-hmm. we really exercise in patience is a virtue. And it's something that we know exists, but it's something that we refuse. Like, and especially in society where everything is fast paced, mm-hmm. you know, we want our love to be like our microwave. We want everything, you know, we want everything fast. We don't want to wait for anything. So the way society has made us, you know, instant everything, instant gratification, everything in our life, mm-hmm. you know, people feel like if in a relationship there's, you know, that's why relationships lasted longer is when we didn't have all these things at our exposure. Right. Where everything was just getting, you want microwave love. You want something that's easy, that's fast. And we want everything to click. And, you know, my parents have been married for like 32 years. So I've seen relationships and I know what it is to have people. You know, you go through things in relationships. You know, sometimes you have pitfalls, you know, and you have pit stops. You know, it's just a stop. It's not a destiny. It's just something that will happen for a moment. And the truth is when you're able to get yourself out of that and be patient through a storm, you know, because like, you know, when storms last, it's generally not a 5-second storm. That's why I love nature, because it makes you reminds us that mm-hmm. no matter how yes. much we're doing, how smart
powers
we are,
out, there's can't some, do nothing.
There's powers above that will, the yeah. snowstorm will stop everything. There will mm-hmm. be, you
no,
know,
can't drive on the
right.
roads.
And today can't we fly. Have so many reminders, you know, which I think that there's so many, now more so than coming up, there's so many hurricanes, there's so many more natural disasters because there's so much more to me, so much instant gratification that we're unfocused as a society on so many other mm-hmm. things, and we're not getting back to the main source and like knowing what true love is and learning how to be patient and work through problems and yeah. different things like that. If it doesn't work right now, I'm done. This is it. It's over. Never again in life. And we just throw our hands up in it, especially as women. We don't have no time.
No.
We don't waste a video to load on Instagram. We just, oh, nobody has time. It's not. I don't hear the words. Nobody waits
Technology
for anything.
Technology has affected
Technology's advancements has, you know, we have decreased our social abilities.
Even dating. You've got to go on the app now.
Everything.
Because nobody comes up to you. You literally have
you don't
to
know
get
how to
a conversation
socialize.
Through technology.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Even Chris Rock, yeah. I went to see his show mm-hmm. in Brooklyn, and he was talking about that. Like, his parents, basically, him and his wife, ex-wife, mm-hmm. had more connection than his parents did, but back in the day, you didn't see your children until, if you left at 7, you didn't see your child until you got home because mm-hmm. there was no cell phone. There was no
FaceTime.
Right. So things were more natural. Love right. was more natural. Love was more earned. Love was more sacred.
Right.
And it was something to look forward to. But if I could text you and I could see what your post was and I could see that you right. were here and they, like nothing is sacred anymore. So
yeah. Yeah. And then there's so much going on, like, you know, versus you can, guys have so many exposures to so many more women.
Oh,
where
yes.
You had to worry about Keisha down the block. Now you got to worry about Keisha in Uganda, wherever uh-huh. she may be. It's like, you know, so with so many more women, so guys feel like they have so much more, you know, they're invested in whatever they can see. And it's just like, it's all images, you know.
Everybody's
naked. Yeah, so you have so many women feel like they have to compete. So we have so many more body conscious issues mm-hmm. that's going on. There's so mm-hmm. many more weight, you know, mm-hmm. conscious and
the
everything.
Waist, the tummy tucks,
right?
And the,
you know,
the slim tummy tees.
And it's this letter of competition. We're snatching it up and we're bending it and we're putting it in. We're just like Mrs. Potato Heads out
yes.
here. We're just putting it all together.
Yeah.
You know?
Perfection.
But, you know, but we have to get back to the source of just true love and just learning how to be patient and learn how to be kind and just learning how, just the main grounded, you know, ground rules.
Yeah. Well, also the whole thing about Mother Nature too that you brought in is like so true. It's just there are these forces that, because we feel like we're so in control and we forget that ultimately, I mean, yes and no, but like okay. ultimately there are forces way bigger than us mm-hmm. that can stop us, slow us mm-hmm. down, and yeah, like that snowstorm you can have as many plans as you want and then suddenly you can't move. Yeah,
I mean, think about it. People had their weddings booked, you know, for certain places and,
stuff like that. Yeah.
You know, then a hurricane come. No, you're not getting married today. You know, so
wow.
it's like,
wow.
you know, so it just reminds you that, you know, when we start thinking, well, is there any forces? You know, like, yeah, there's definitely a higher being because we can't control things. We can't stop things. So that's why I just, you know, now it's the creator. But it's just definitely something to think about, you know, you know, just like in relationships, we have to always, you know, remember that we have to be patient. There's some things that are really out of our control, and just learn to, you know, if it's meant to be, it will be. And that's the one thing we have to always remember. What is for you, you will not pass you.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
Will definitely, you, it will be yours.
Yeah.
So eventually. You just got eventually, but you know, who's to say if you're going to be around,
I'll be dead by the time,
but you know, no, but definitely, no. it definitely, and it's true.
Optimistic,
yeah, definitely, says a single woman.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so much, because so many of us, I think a lot of people's issues actually come from not being able to receive love, not being able to yet being able to give love, right. And a lot of it is romantic, because that's the thing that brings us to our knees. And I don't know the answer yet, but I know that we've also created these stereotypes of, like, this is how a boy acts, this is how a girl acts, which is why I love Nikki and, and that kind of energy of a woman being, you know, kind of defying those gender stereotypes. And like, now women are fucking badass females who are just as sexual as men.
Yeah.
And there's this thing going on of, like, men are the ones that get to go out and sleep around while women fight over them. And I'm just so fucking sick of it. And I'm still yet, what's the word? Like, subject to those beliefs. That's what I was trying to say about feeling stuck in it, is like, subjective. I know the bullshit of those things. And yet I feel, whether it's physical, just our belief systems, I still find myself sometimes competing with other women, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. For a man, and I hate, because it's like, this all needs to fucking stop, because it all stems from our inability to actually be vulnerable and wildly in love. Because I feel like we fall wildly in love, whether it's once or twice, often in high school or middle school, that wild where, like, then our parents or friends have to set us aside, like, yo, that really took you down. Like,
yeah,
you can't ever do that again. Mm-hmm. And then we all try to manage for the rest of our life. Mm-hmm. We all try to manage, though, oh, you can never fall like that. You can never be that vulnerable or that in love. And then we end up trying to go to these, like, other levels that are more harnessed, though, like, okay, well, this is love. I'm not as crazy as I was there, but, like, I think ultimately love is wild, intense, and crazy. Mm-hmm. And yet most of us are too scared to ever go back there after middle or high school. And then we find ourselves in relationships or marriage that are where we feel half alive. Mm-hmm. And I refuse. Like, even though I'm doing such fucking annoying, deep emotional work to get there, I'm like, I don't want to be in the kind of love where you feel half numb, or that gets stagnant. And I think a lot of our problems are coming from places where we give up on that kind of love. So then we try to find those feelings in, first of all, it's great to have those feelings in career. But what I mean is like, then you get like a Trump who doesn't know how to be vulnerable there. So he's looking for power as a way to fuel that thing. Instead of, like, if we were all actually in love. Yeah.
He's a raging narcissist. And that's a big part of the problem.
And help it. And not just Trump, but in most men and women.
Most men, yeah.
Well, men and women. We're letting our egos drive the ship, in a sense.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock said that in his comedy, too. That's why him and his wife didn't work. Because his ego would not allow him to be like, oh, I have to be home. I pay for everything, so why do I have to be
Yes.
home? You know, or him cheating because I get to do what I want. I earn the most income. Mm-hmm. So it was a humbling experience. And he said, never get divorced because it's lonely out there. Mm-hmm. And then you realize what you left, you could have worked out on.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what I've said a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in the things that are happening in the society and the fast-paced things, and we forget the core values that we were taught about love. And just, you know, love patience. Can be the wildest thing. You know, there's no just definition of what your love can be, because when it's the right love, it's going to be something that's shared. So, you know, but I think it's just important that people just really learn how to be patient. Sometimes I think that's something that is overlooked, that we all hear as a word, like patient, and it just sounds like you don't want to do it. You know, patient.
I've been patient.
Yeah, so you always feel like you've been patient, but your patience is not as long as you think it is. Like, really.
Well, patience does suck.
It sucks.
It's what we need.
It's what we need.
But it sucks in the sense, like, you know, I believe just being physically manifested requires patience. It's like you look to nature, flowers growing, you know, the process of nature, trees, like, take years and years. Yes. You know? But even with that being said, it's like, yeah, it's hard to have patience and have faith and to come back to the present and feel grateful and happy for what you have. And I'm in a situation at the moment where I'm spiraling, but trying to find that present gratitude and have that faith. And I'll get, I mean, literally right before you guys came, the thing happened
that's earthquake, you know, shaking.
So I'll find it again. But it, you know, I share this because first of all, it's hard for me, you know, talk about being fake. It's so hard for me to, if something's going on, to just, I can't, it's like, whatever. So, but I just want also, cause I preach so much about positivity and faith and the spiritual journey. And I want people to know, like, I'm deeply on it. And yet it does not save you from earth shattering disappointments.
Yes,
it doesn't. I don't know what to say about that, but like watching Anderson Cooper's speech today of him reminding about, I forget how many years ago it was, like 7 or 8 years ago, it was the Haitian earthquake. And I remember seeing a video of a woman who was trapped for days. And this was before I was even like had my spiritual awakening, I think. And she came out after days of being trapped and she was just saying like, God is good. God is real. God is good. And it made me think of that too, of like, you can be in the darkest of places we will get through. And I have to keep reminding myself right now, because when it happened, it made me like curse the spiritual journey as if we could ever get out of it anyway.
Right.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
No way you're in.
Like, this is where all this was leading me. Me Matrix. Bearing my heart and soul led me to this kind of fucking heartbreak. And then I'm like, we're all subject. That's the point of, it makes me think of, well, I know Tupac's named his album, what was it? Urban Rose, or he has
like a rose growing from the concrete.
And that rose or the flower, whatever, right? It perseveres and it opens its really fragile, beautiful petals for sunlight coming through the densest concrete. And it's like that to me, and I'm, you know, T.L. Swan has a poem about it too, so it's not completely my own, but for me it's like I have to remind myself, like, that's what I'm just trying to do, is open up and be vulnerable, and it doesn't guarantee you a certain outcome.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it for, you know, for that. It's to be vulnerable. But in those moments, man, I'm like, I just want to crawl back in. I want to put all my defenses back. But then I'm like, well, that didn't get me anywhere either. But man, right now I'm just like, I don't even know how to feel. I don't know how to think. I wish I could share more, but I also don't, because even though my podcast is Invasion of Privacy, I don't want to invade my own or other people's. But I just can say, like, the journey isn't about getting exactly what you think you're going to get in the way you think you're going to get it. And that's ultimately a gift, too, even though in these moments it feels like it's a nightmare. Because every time in my past something like this has happened, I could look back and go, oh, thank God. It went like that.
And it brings me to, like, I was just, like, I was home and I was talking about, and I was just referring to the pit, like, Joel Osteen was referring to, like, I love his stories. Oh my gosh. So he was stating about, he was saying, like, the pit stop, and he was comparing, like, you know, our problems, like, when we're in a pit to, like, the race, when you're at a race in a pit stop, and you go to the pit stop and you get your tires changed and you're, you know, you get refreshed in a pit. And sometimes when we're in our pits in our lives, that we're getting refreshed, it's something that we need to get to refuel, to get back on the track and eventually go to victory, to make it to the, you know, finish line. So sometimes when we're at, you know, in dark spots in our life, it's just a stop. It doesn't mean that that's where you're going to stay. You know, it's just something that you're going to get from wherever you are that's going to help you and carry you through to wherever you need to be. So just always keep that in mind. Like, where you are is not, like you said, you can always go back and remember, okay, it makes sense now. So, you know, at that moment, it just seems like the world's colliding. But then, like, later on, you're like, you know what? If that didn't happen, this wouldn't have happened. And so when we've been around long enough, we know that we've been through that experience before. When we get to these points, we can't be shaken at that point. We have to know that just like that happened before, you know, this situation will turn around, because it always does. Yeah. It's not here forever.
Yeah.
This is something that's going to pass through. And we have to always remind ourselves and find that strength within to realize and know that this is just a moment.
We fall down, you're right.
But we get back up. I mean, it's true.
You're so right, and this is the kind of stuff I say, but it's a whole other thing when you're in it.
No, when you're like, in it's cute. It hurts like shit. I get
you're 100% right, and I know I'm going to come through it, but
initially.
You know, it just, and I don't know the answer to this either, but it's like, at what point does life get easier, if it ever does get easier?
I don't know.
I don't think it does. Because I've done so much work on myself, and it's like,
I don't think it's going to
get easier. I'm like, where am I?
I think it gets harder.
I think it gets harder. I think it's easier. I think eventually you get to a point, you find that right one, and you're both crazy as hell. You know each other. You keep getting back and forth on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
Challenging so it's an ongoing
challenge. You know, it's a challenge. You find that right challenging partner, that right person that's going to just give you the right.
Yeah.
You know. So you find your spearing partner, and then you're good to go, and you spar, you spear, and you do whatever you do for the rest of your lives, and that's what happens. You know, but I think you find someone who eventually you live with and you go travel with and you spend the rest of your life with. So it's not like, you know, we're still young. We always think that we're like forever old, but like we're still young.
There's still hope.
Yeah, there's still hope.
Yeah. And I, once again, I'm sure tomorrow, later this week,
to nothing we're saying,
I'll be able to.
I just like to say, like,
yeah, guys.
She's like,
thanks.
I get you just saying. Exactly.
No, because it's what I preach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also why it's important I speak from it while I'm here. Mm-hmm. Because once again, no one, because, you know, I'm a healer, but it's easy for me when I'm always in the, not that I'm always, I mean, they've heard me cry a lot, but like, it's one thing to hear it from a person who's smiling, like, just have faith, just be happy.
Right.
But, you know, I'm right now in one of my lowest places I've ever been. Mm-hmm. Fine. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fine, it's great. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm still, like, here I am, literally in that place, and I'm going to find my way out of it. And
she needs ice cream.
I don't even know if I can. I'm so upset. Like, when you guys leave, I'm just going to have a really big cry, and I need to.
You need to.
I need to get this out, mm-hmm. because it's like, otherwise I'm just going to be like, you know, it's
play
not going to be good.
Really play some good songs too.
Yes.
I'm going to just cry it out. Naked. I need to process.
Yeah, you have to get the songs you need.
A bath, have candles.
Yep.
Sage. I only have a shower.
That's all right.
But I could do that.
That's all right.
A candle in the shower. No. like a real hot mess, and it just keeps going out, and I'm like, nothing's going right.
I can't even keep
the
candle lit
in a shower.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Maybe that's what I was trying to do anyway, was light a candle in the shower this whole time.
Ooh, like a candle in the wind.
Like a candle in the shower.
I mean, wow.
Drip drop.
I got played by God, everybody. Stop. But ultimately,
you didn't get played by God.
Blame him. So you gonna blame God?
I'm blaming God right
now.
You
got served.
Played
by
God.
You got served. Okay, he served you. He served you. It was a lesson.
Yeah.
He served you
a lesson.
I still have to.
He's
chew.
Basically saying, and this is the last time.
That's all.
But we don't even have, listen, we don't even have say over that.
That's not the
Because
that's
you know how many times I've done that?
That's right.
Where I'm like, never again. And then that's why I feel played. Because I've said never again. Yeah. Right. And then I was pushed to once again. And I'm just like, yo, fucking, I don't know, man. It's fine. And I'm not even trying, okay, once again, I'm not even trying to blame God, the person, the people. Like, no, this is just what is, and it's truth, and it's
that's
all good.
Right.
But
yes.
Like, at the same time,
it sucks.
I am going to cry a lot.
And
today.
Crying helps.
Get it out.
You're not supposed to hold it in.
No. Yeah, no. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll start wrapping it up because I'm trying to get this cry out.
Yeah, she's got to get it out.
What a great podcast.
Away.
Guys, we're gonna end so I can cry.
Yes.
But first, where can people find you? Like shows,
all right.
Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff.
You can find Jelly at Pass the Jelly on Instagram and on Twitter and on YouTube. I have a show the 21st at Tierney's, and that's in Montclair, New Jersey. And the lovely Aja.
You can find me on Instagram at AJABLAUGHS, LAUGHS. I still spell it the proper way. Let's see, this Tuesday the 16th, I'll be at New York Comedy Club for the Laugh Tracks audition, so showcase. So see you there. And Facebook, Aja AJA Bennett. Hit me up, and I look forward to meeting you guys and talking with you all. Thanks, Kate, for this great time on the show.
Yes,
awesome.
thank you. Kate.
Of course, my two angel friends walk in as I'm, you know what I mean?
Clips
it's just
United.
Funny.
All right.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Well, it's funny because we've only hung out now really three times, but every time really has significance to it, doesn't it?
It feels like we've known each other longer.
Right.
there is like an interesting bond. And well, I mean, also driving for hours to a woman's prison show. I mean, we were
practically cousins by the time we got there. Yeah. I was braiding your hair.
Well, it's like a road trip too. So like, you know, at first you're like, hi, I'm Kate.
Braiding my hair.
And then, like an hour into it, you're napping. And then, doing each other's hair.
Play the
license plate game. Let's see. Okay, let me get my head. Okay, Twitter, Instagram at the Kate Wolf. But my album is coming out in February. So February 2nd is the pre-order. February 16th is when it drops. Right. 17 tracks of stand-up comedy, and then the 18th track is Labia Game. So
Lips
Cunty Leal. Kate is Cunty out
Kate,
there.
You don't want
that. And then the video drops February 23rd. Woo! So it's going to be an exciting month.
Dopeness.
And hopefully by the time all that happens, I will be out of this.
That's right.
Stay and able to celebrate a huge moment in my career.
Oh, it was
career.
Epic.
Because that would suck, right? It's like, totally. I don't want to have this huge moment coming and not be able to actually feel it, celebrate myself.
Yeah, no, you will celebrate.
But definitely. I also hope that I do really want to fall in love and be in love in that kind of relationship soon.
Yes.
I feel like, so I'm hoping that happens.
We all will.
But all right, you guys.
Trifecta
wedding. Nicki Minaj is the officiant. What do you call it? Officiant?
Okay.
Whatever the word. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for coming on.
All righty. Cool.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.